Now we're holding on Chaf Ches Amud Aleph by the Mishnah. Mishnah says, Hamevi get, a shliach is bringing a get from the Dinas Yam or from wherever. Now when he left, the husband who gave him the get was old or sick. So the question is, by the time he's reached Eretz Yisrael or wherever his destination is the husband still alive? Well, noisin love cheskas shukayim, he can give the get to the wife on the assumption that on the chazaka, that the husband is still alive. We're not concerned, Rashi says, that the husband has died and now the shlichus is bottled. Because midaraisa, you have the concept of chazaka, and therefore that's good enough for our purposes. An interesting point there is why Rashi mentions that, in fact, the Tosfos Rid and other Rishonim mentioned, never mind the matter of chazaka. There is the matter of chazaka, but the concern would be not so much that the shliach, that the shliach's shlichus might be bottle, but rather that the husband, that if the husband is dead, we have the concept before ein get la'achamisa, that the get doesn't take effect after the person dies. So in fact, there is some discussion among the achronim about what the reason why we need two different reasons for that. And part of it is based on something with a Tosfos earlier in the Masechta that points out that there's a difference between appointing a shliach versus we're going to have later in the Masechta, for example, where a person says that I want this get to take effect 12 months or whatever from now, and in between he dies, where there we say and get lachamisa, you could argue that maybe you need a separate thing to also inform us that the same thing if you appointed a shliach, that you also can't give it lachamisa, and there's a whole discussion therefore that you could say that the problem is not so much that you can't give the not so much that ain't get lachamisa, but the fact that his shlichus is bottled because the husband has died. Anyway, the point is here you don't have to worry about that. You can give it to the wife on the assumption that he's still alive. Because again, chazaka is a very powerful thing. Chazaka, there's a sugya in Rashi refers to a sugya in Chulin that talks about chazaka, and chazaka is a very powerful thing. We see from that sugya over there. For example, the whole concept that we know that one person is another person's father is only a chazaka, unlike the mother, he came directly out of her. And yet we see the Torah imposes certain penalties for a person who curses or hits or whatever his father. So that's one of many examples where we see that chazaka works and is a very powerful thing. So therefore you can assume that he's still alive. One thing is there is a point. There's one of the notes on the Rif, and it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, is only if the guy is chole b'dei shamayim, only if he's sick of natural causes, then you can say. But if he was sick because he was injured, then not, because then there's a much higher likelihood that he's gonna die soon of it. We're also gonna see in the Gemara about a regular chole versus a ghost. Anyway. Bas Yisrael and Asur Lakoyen. Similarly, there are other dinim that we can also work based on chazaka. If she was a Bas Yisrael and her husband's a Koyen, and her husband went off to Medina Sayam, she can continue to eat truma on the assumption that her husband is alive, and we don't have to worry about that he may have died. And of course, once he dies, she can't eat truma anymore, because again, chazaka is a very powerful thing, and then we can follow that. And a third example, Hashaleach Katosim and Dinas Hayam, if a person sends a chatos from overseas, Makrivanoisim, Cheskas Shukayim, then again, you can offer that korban on the assumption that he's still alive. Now, even though if we knew that he had died, or we had, then it would be a chatos Shemeser Baalel. It would be a chatos whose owner died. And you wouldn't bring it as a korban. Instead, you would have to leave it to die also, but you would lock it up in a room, etc. But here, again, you can rely on the chazaka that he's still alive. The Gemara is going to explain why we need to be told this din in three different cases. Tosfos does point out, by the way, based on a different Gemara in Hamafkid, that when it comes to Yisomim, when it comes to property of Yisomim, the Gemara tells a whole story over there involving a family with three with an old lady and with an old mother and three daughters, and one of them had a son, etc., etc. So you have a situation over there involving the chosim of Yisomim. There you have to be more machmir and be concerned that the person may have died. But other than that, outside of that, in cases like over here, as far as it gets, you don't need to worry about it. Okay, so the Gemara says, Omar Rava, Loi Shanu El Zokin Shalayigia Legvuris. Now, this that we're saying, that you can assume that he's still alive, is only when we say he's old, but he hasn't yet reached Gvuris. He hasn't yet reached 80 years old. The Pasuk tells us, Yemesh Nesen Behem Shim Shana, people usually live 70 years. The Imbi Gvuris, a person is very strong and vigorous, Shmonim Shana, then he'll live 80 years. So if he hasn't reached 80 yet, then we can assume he's still alive. Or v'chola, or in the case of a sick person, dafka, where he's sick, as opposed to goisis, where chola is just a person who's regular, who's sick in the regular way. Goisis would be where he's near death. He's like drawing his last breaths. So in those cases, shadroiv chola v'chaim. So if he's not yet at gvoros, then there's a strong reason to assume he's still alive. And if he's only regularly sick, then fine. Most sick people usually recover. Avol zokin shigia legvoros, but if he already reached 80 years old, so if he already reached 80 years old, Rashi says that it means actually once he's in his once he's 81, in other words, he's a year. Well, Rashi doesn't say it actually in so many words, but that seems to be the implication that, he says 81 or older. From 81 to 90, Rashi says he would be, there's more of a chance that he might die. If he reached that age, the goisis, or if he's already a goisis when the shliach received the get from him, where should roiv goisis in lamissa? After all, most goisisin usually die. Loi, then we wouldn't say the din of our mishnah. Then he can't necessarily give the get b'cheskas shulkayim, because the fact that the guy is already 81 or older, or the fact that he's a goisis means that weakens the chazaka. That he's alive, and therefore he can't give the get because, again, of the concern that his shlichus has already expired, or maybe, or according to the Tosfos read, that ain't get la'achamisa, whatever. So the Gemara asks, Eisve Abaya. So that was Rava said that, but Abaya asks on him. Abraisa says, Hamevi get v'inichoy zokin. If he brings a get and he left the person that he brought it from was old, Afila ben Meya Shana, even if the guy was 100 years old, Noisin Labcheska Strukayim, he can give her the get on the assumption that the husband is still alive. So what are you telling me that if he's 81 or older, then you can't give it? Tiyufta. So therefore, that's a clear contradiction against Rava. However, the Gemara says maybe not necessarily. V'yiboyis Ema, you could answer Kibin de Iflig. Once he's already been separated from the general run of people that we're talking about, he's already 100 years, in other words, when the Braises is 100 years old, maybe it means Davka 100. Once he's reached that advanced in age, then there's a good chance he's one of those exceptionally, so obviously he's one of those exceptionally long-lived people, so therefore there's less of a concern that he might die suddenly. But if he's between, Rashi says, when he's between 81 and 90, then you have to be concerned that he might die suddenly. So Rashi is mentioning from 81 to 90. He's not saying specifically what happens after 90. Maybe Rashi would consider that once he's already in his 90s, then that's already the equivalent, we're saying, of Meya Shana, which would be that he's already on his way to 100, and therefore that would be fine. In Shulchan Aruch, when it brings this point, so it mentions two different opinions. Now you have, so the Gemara has first refuted Rava altogether, and then it said that maybe after all there's a difference given to iflig. So in Shulchan Aruch, and you have different Rishonim who understand the different what we're saying about the years differently. Do we mean 90? Do we mean 100? Anyway, so it does mention. First it mentions that you can give it to him b'cheskas shulkayim, like it says in the Mishnah. Then it says that yesh omrim, that the heter is only when he's less than 80, and then Amar adds or more than 100. But between 80 and 100 is between 80 and 100 is a problem. So therefore, so we would be we would say then that between 80 and 100, and then Rashi says only until 90. then you have to be machmir. So there are cases where you can be machmir. So there are cases where you have to be machmir, and there are cases where you can be makel and assume that once he reached an advanced age, then he's going to continue living. Okay. So the Gemara says, Romi le Abaye le Rabba. Now, new discussion. Abaye pointed out the following contradiction to Rabba. Tnan hamedi get v'inicha zokan achola. We're saying that if you left him, all, that if you left, when he left, the husband was old or sick, then he can give her the get on the assumption that the husband is still alive. But I have a contradiction. I have a contradiction though from something that it says later in the not later in the Masechta, something that it says actually in a different Mishnah. It's actually a brisa. It's brought in a few places in Shas. It's ultimately a brisa from our Masechta. Anyway, the Braisa says, "Hareza gitich shah achas kodem umisasa." Hareza gitich shah achas kodem umisasa. If he says this is your get, and it should take effect 1 hour, meaning one short amount of time before he dies, asura lecha b'truma miyad. Then, if she's a wife of a kohen, if she's a Yisraelis, the wife of a kohen, she's also to eat truma right away. So you see that it's also so. Here in our Mishnah, we're saying that she can continue to eat truma b'cheskas shukayim, and that braisa, on the other hand, is saying that in that case, she would be also to eat truma right away, where he said that should take effect shortly before he dies. So what is it? Are we concerned that he's going to die soon or not? Omalei, so Rabba answers him, truma agitin karomis. You're trying to bring a contradiction between the case of truma and the case of between the case of truma and the case of gitin. Truma efsher, get loy efsher. In the case of truma, we're able to be machmer. We can tell her to be on the safe side from now on, eat only chul and don't eat truma. A get, what can we do? We can't be concerned about missa all the time. Then it'll be impossible just for a man to send a get to his wife, and she's going to end up being an agun. So therefore, we really have no choice but to say, like in our Mishnah, that we give him a cheskas chayim, he has a chazaka of being alive. However, then we can go on to point out there's a contradiction between two different braises, between our Mishnah and the braise as far as truma as well. Because Tnan, Bas Yisrael, and Asur l'Koyin, because we said if a Bas Yisrael is married to a Koyin, v'holach b'ilalim dinas hayam, and her husband goes off to dinas hayam, v'cheles v'truma v'cheskes shukayim, so our Mishnah had said she can continue to eat truma on the assumption that he's alive. But then we have the contradiction. So we see that even with truma itself, we have our Mishnah is saying that you can be mako on the basis of a chazaka, but the braisa is saying in a different case that you have to be machmir. So what is it? The difference is over there in the case where he says the get should take effect shortly before he dies, because after all, he's saying that she should be also 1 hour before he dies. So it's true. We're not going to be choshesh necessarily that he's going to die. But the fact is that we're saying he may die sometime in the next hour, and that's more of a concern. So every time then you have to say this might be the hour, and therefore should be also to eat truma then, because then the get would take effect. However, Rashi points out, I mean, it's a bit of a doichet, this answer, and therefore the Gemara is going to give, and therefore the Gemara is going to end up giving a better answer. So we're saying because she's also one shah achas kodim yisasei, but maski for Rapapa, but Rapapa asks on that, mi mai ihu mai spiresha. After all, who says that he's going to die first? You might just as well have where she dies first, and there never becomes a time when she's also to him. So you're saying as though it's inevitable that at some point she's going to have that shah achas when she's going to be also. Why? Not necessarily. That shah achas may never come because she may die before him. And when she dies, she's still mutoti truma and the get has never taken effect. So what kind of answer is that to say that because of that, we should be more machmir in that case? So Ella, I'm an Abaya. So rather, Abaya gives a better answer. Like Kasha, Hora Meir, like Chayish Lamisa, Hora Yehuda de Chayish Lamisa. There's the Mishnah versus the Brisa. In the Mishnah, it's Reb Meir, Stam Mishnah Reb Meir, after all, who's not concerned about that a person, or who's not concerned about a person dying, versus the Brisa, would be according to Reb Yehuda or one of the other Tanoim with him, who are choshish for that. The Tanan, as we learn in Mishnah, or actually we learned this the other day. We learned this on Shabbos, and we actually the Gemara quoted it over there as a Brisa. It's actually part of it is in a Mishnah in Masechta Tmai, but the details that the other Tanoim say that the other Tanoim disagree is not in the Mishnah, only in a Brisa. So sometimes the Gemara this thing is brought where we talked about the other day. It's brought in like 8 or 9 places in Shas. And sometimes the Gemara introduces it as the Tanan, sometimes as the Tanya. Anyway, halakeach yayin mibeina kusim. A person buys wine from kusim. Now, so the kusim, we know there was always the question whether they're geire emes or geire arayas, or Braisa or Mishnah over here is following the opinion that they were geire emes, therefore their wine is mutter. Eventually, the Chachamim discovered the worshipping Avodah Zarah and asked their wine, but this takes place before that. Anyway, though, one thing about the kusim is that they were careful to separate trumas and maisus for themselves. In general, the Gemara tells us in many places they were careful with dinim daraisa, but and truma and maisa, it says in the Torah, but they weren't careful to do it when they sold to other people, either because Tosfos explains a couple of blocks earlier that either they weren't concerned about lifnei iver, because they understood the words lifnei iver le'sith and michshel literally, don't put a stumbling block in front of a blind person, rather than understanding that the way we do, according to Torah Shabbat Peh, that it means to not mislead somebody into an Aveira. So either they didn't hold of that, or Tosfos says they found a heter from the fact that Torah says that when you eat your produce, you have to take truma and maaser, implying that if you sell it, you don't have to. Whatever the case, so unlike when you buy from an Amoretz, where at least you can assume truma was separated, but as we learned at the end of Sota, because all the Amoretz did separate truma, the question was only as far as maaseris. When it comes to a kusi, you're buying wine from him, you have to take truma as well. So the halakeach yainu ben akusim, so a person buys wine from them. Omer, so now let's say he's in a situation where he can't separate Truma and Meiser. Earlier, Rashi had explained that it meant that he doesn't have Kalim available for the purpose. In other places, the explanation is that it's right before Shabbos and he doesn't have the time to do it. Whatever the case, so the other day, by the way, when we brought this was in connection with the matter of Breira, because this is going to be one of those classic cases of Breira. He's going to say that in the future, I'm going to designate Truma and Meiser. Can we assume that what he eventually designates is indeed what he meant to be all along, and therefore that till now he hasn't drunk any of the Truma. Now we're going to be taking it in a different way, which is because the end of the Mishnah over there talks about something that's related to Misa. Anyway, so Omer, so he says, Shnei Logan Shani Osir Bahafrish, 2 logim of this wine. So we're talking about, let's say he bought 100 log of wine. So 2 logim that I'm going to separate after Shabbos or when I have Kalim, whatever, Harehein Truma, then those should be designated Truma. Asara Maiserishin, Tisha Maiserishini, another 10 or actually slightly less than 10 will be Maiserishin, another 9 or slightly less than 9 will be Maiserishini. And that works. And then he's Mechol, which Rashi earlier explained means he has to be Mechal the Maiserishini, because Rashi had said, even though it's true, we're not imposing on him to actually give the we're not imposing on him to separate out the truma and maaser before Shabbos or when he doesn't have kalim or whatever, but at least so for the most part, Reb Meir is allowing him to rely on Breira and to say that later on what the truma and maaser that he takes is going to be retroactively what it was supposed to be all along. Nonetheless, though, he does have to try to be masakin whatever he can, and that includes that he should. And that includes at least as far as the Maaser Sheni, that he should be mechalol that, so that way at least he can eat it outside of Yerushalayim without there being a problem. Anyway, so that's Rashi explains Mechel that way. Tosfos earlier explained that that's not what it means. They had some questions on that. So they explained that Mechel can either mean he begins right away, Or it can mean that, so either it means he begins right away, in other words, he can begin drinking right away without having to worry about anything else, says her mayor, or that it can mean that, or it can mean that he mixes it with wine, mechal, related to the word mechal, which means to mix with wine, and then, and it would mean, therefore, that he's allowed to do that, and he's allowed to start drinking. Anyway, the point is, miyad, he's allowed to do that right away, shosa miyad, and he's allowed to drink right away, Rabbi Meir, that's what Rabbi Meir says, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Shimon Oisrin, and these three Tanoim say that it is also to do that. The point being, in other words, that so now in the continuation of the Braisa, which the Gemara is not quoting over here, they say to Rabbi Meir that now earlier again, the Gemara had brought this as a matter of Brera and argued that it sounds like Rabbi Meir allows for Brera and these three do not. But now the Gemara is saying that, then the Gemara ended up saying not necessarily. Actually, their concern is not so much Brera, but rather something that it says in the Braisa continues where they say to Rabbi Meir, aren't you concerned, Shemi Yibaka Hanoid, aren't you concerned that the wine skin that contains the wine might burst open and then all the wine is going to spill and it's going to wind up that you never took the Truma and Meiser altogether? So it's one thing. In other words, the Gemara ends up saying a few blocks earlier, all these Chachamim might accept the concept of Brera, but they would say, after all, you do have to have that the Brera eventually takes place, that you do eventually separate out the Truma and Meiser. And if you don't do it, then you could argue that retroactively you drunk Tevel. So they say, aren't you concerned about that? And he answers, Lichshi Yibaka. He answers them, if it breaks, then we'll worry about it. It's not likely enough that it's going to break. So now the Gemara is understanding that they'd have the same kind of machloikas as far as a person dying. Rabbi Meir is not concerned about the person dying on all of a sudden like that, whereas Rabbi Yehuda and the other Tanoim with him would be concerned about that. So therefore, we can say again that our Mishnah would follow the opinion of Rabbi Meir. So he's not chayish lemissa. So therefore, we're good. As opposed to Rabbi Yehuda and the other Tanoim with him would be concerned about Missa, and therefore they would say that if he says the get is going to take effect an hour before I die, then she's not allowed to eat Truma right away. So we could answer it that way. The reason why we mention Rabbi Yehuda, by the way, I mean, you have the other Tanoim, you have Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shimon as well, is because we find, particularly Rabbi Yehuda elsewhere, we find him concerned about this kind of thing, of a person dying. The Gemara brings, you have it at the beginning of Yuma, when it says the Kohen Gadol has to be married in order to do the Avodah of Yom Kippur. And then Rabbi Yehuda says over there that you have a spare wife available for him in case his wife dies, and the Chacham say, Kein Ein L'Davar Soif. So you see that Rabbi Yehuda is concerned over there that she might die suddenly during Yom Kippur, and the Chacham are saying, we're not so concerned about it. So that's why we here also we're attributing that kind of thing to Rabbi Yehuda. Anyway, the point is, we can answer that way and say,
with Rabbi Yehuda, is there a certain age? They said after 90 or?
So according to Rabbi Yehuda, it sounds like he's not distinguishing at all. The same way as he says that the wineskin might break, and Bapashtus, it doesn't matter whether it's a new one or an old one or whatever. Bapashtus, it sounds like he would say, according to this answer, it sounds like he would say at any age. The same way with the Kohen Gadol's wife, you think about it, she might be a young woman as well, but he's still concerned about the possibility. So it sounds like with him, it sounds like according to him, we don't necessarily want to distinguish between what age the person is. Anyway, so that's another way. So far, again, we have one way of reconciling the Arm Mishnah that says that she can continue to eat Truma with a Braisa that says that she cannot. So far, we said one way of understanding the one way of reconciling them would be that. So first, we tried to say you can be Machmir by Truma, you can't be Machmir by Gittin, but we shot that down because we said that after all, we find within Truma itself that we have to our Mishnah says we can be maple. So first we said the difference is that necessarily it's going to happen at some point that she's going to be also for that Shah Achas. But then we said not necessarily. She could end up dying before him, and it never actually takes effect. So now we answer that it's Reb Meir versus Reb Yehuda. So now another answer, Rava Amar. Rava gives a different answer to reconcile the Mishnah and the Braisa. By the way, yeah, and Tosfos does point out that there can be a difference between how soon do we expect that the person might die. Are we talking about Zman Mu'at or Zman Meruba? We do find even Reb Meir, who says that you're not concerned about Misa in a short amount of time, he agrees that Zman Meruba you would be concerned about it. So over here we're saying though that we're not talking about that long amount of time. Anyway, so Rava Amar Shema Mes Loi Chayshinan Shema Yomus Chayshinan. What it is we're not concerned that he has died, because fine, he has a chazaka of being alive. Shema Yomus, but the concern that he might die, and we don't know when that is, Chayshinan, that we have to be concerned about. After all, we can say a person has a chazaka he has a chazaka that he's still alive, but he doesn't have a chazaka that he's not going to die. So therefore, that chayshinan, that we do have to be concerned about. And therefore, so in our Mishnah, where it's only a matter of him being alive or not, at any given time when she's eating truma, she needs to know whether he's alive, then fine, we can use the chazaka that he's alive and allow her to eat truma. In the case of the Braisa, where it's a matter of that she's going to be also to eat truma 1 hour before he dies, because that's when the get is going to take effect. With that, we can't necessarily say that she should be able to continue eating, because we don't know the next hour he might die, and you can't say a chazaka for that, because obviously the person doesn't have a chazaka that he's going to stay alive forever. Okay. But what about, I mean, if you're going to compare to that, what about, again, this case of the wineskin, the case of the one who bought the wine from the kusim, after all, the concern there is kind of like he will die, because the concern is the wineskin will break in the future. And we still see that the Tanoim disagree on that. So you can't say, it's not just a matter of that you have a difference between the chazaka of right now versus the chazaka in the future. You see that even when you're talking about in the future, you have the issue. Now, one thing is, Mephoshim explained to me. Yeshua talks about, and other Mephoshim talk about that. What happens is when we say that when the person is given this get that it should take effect shtar achas before koidim misasay, then what happens is the chazaka, you do have a chazaka that he's still alive. On the other hand, you have also a chazaka that he gave a get to her, and therefore, so now those two chazakas kind of to a certain extent cancel each other out. And then you have other explanations of why the chazaka is not so strong. But in any case, the point is that Reb Meir seems to allow it even in that case, and Reb Yehuda is not allowing it even in that case. So what do you mean? You're trying to reconcile the Mishnah and the Braisa by saying that in the Mishnah we're only concerned about whether he has died, and in the Braisa we're concerned about whether he will die. But we see that Reb Meir versus Reb Yehuda and company hold that's not a distinction. Reb Meir is not concerned Shema Yibaka Hanoi, that the wineskin might split open, and Rabbi Yehuda and the rest of the Tanoim are. The answer is Omer Rabbi Yehuda ben Iskarta Shiny Noi. It's different in the case of a wineskin, the Efshu de Moso Loi L'Shomer, because with a wineskin, what you can do is you can give it to a Shomer who's going to watch it to make sure that it doesn't burst. Why would a wineskin burst? Is because, for example, you have the pressure of the liquid in there is getting too big. And before that happens, you'd notice it's starting to bubble or something. So fine, you give it to a Shomer, and he makes sure if he notices that about to happen, then he'll relieve the pressure or do whatever is necessary in order to keep it from splitting. As opposed to, nobody can prevent a person from dying. So that would be why the mayor is not concerned about Bekiyas HaNoid. That doesn't show that he wouldn't hold that in other in cases of a person dying, that it should, that it might not happen. Not necessarily would we make that distinction. But Maskif, Lord of Mesharshi, Mesharshi says, what do you mean? Arvach, Arvat Sorich. Your Oriv himself needs an Oriv. What if the Shomer himself gets careless and doesn't pay attention and the wineskin ends up splitting? Ela Omar Rava. So rather, Rava says no. We have to say Shema Mes Loi Chashinan to say that he that maybe he has died. Everybody is going to agree. We're not worried because again he has a chazaka that he's still alive. So again, our Mishnah could go according to everybody. Shema Yomus Tanoihi. But whether he's going to die, that indeed would be subject to a Machlokas Tanoim. That would be Reb Meir would say you're not concerned about that either. And Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon would be concerned that he will that he will. So that explains our Mishnah when it says that she can eat truma in the case where a get was sent to her, that she can continue eating truma till she actually receives the get. That would be according to everybody. Even Rabbi Yehuda and company would agree with that because that the question is only Shema Mess, and we don't have to be concerned about Shema Mess. Or not even a case of a get. We said in our Mishnah, her husband went off to Medina Sayyam, and we don't know whether he's alive. Whatever. The point is that she's able to continue eating truma on that chazaka. But when you're talking about what will happen in the future, that's where you have the machlokas tanoim about Bekiyas HaNoid, where Rabbi Meir is not concerned about it, and Rabbi Yehuda and company are, and therefore the Braisa that had said that if he gives her a get and says it should take effect Shah Achas before I die, then that would be Rabbi Meir would say she could still continue to eat Truma, and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon would say that she can't. We said in the Mishnah, we said if a person sends a chatas from an overseas country, then they can bring the korban on the assumption that he's still alive. Again, if they knew that he was no longer alive, then they couldn't, because that would be a chatas, and that would be a chatas shemesubal, and that's one of the five cases where the chatas is sent off to die. But here, instead, we're saying you can bring it b'cheskas shukayim. So the Gemara asks, never mind that, fine, he has a chazakah of being alive, but don't you, we require that you have to do smicha on the korban before you shecht it. And you can't, Rashi brings from Todas Koyanim, you can't send a shliach for it, so you can't even send your own son for it, so he himself has to be present in order to do smicha on that korban. How can you bring the korban without it? Which Tosfos points out, fine, the smicha is not ma'akiv, but we shouldn't have l'chatechila that we're going to do a korban in a way where you can't accomplish smicha. Why should we be doing it? We should tell the guy, wait until you come into town and you can do it yourself. And then Tosfos goes on to discuss in some detail. We do have other cases where a korban is brought on a person's behalf and he can't do smicha. Sometimes you have cases where there's really no other alternative, but here you have the alternative, which is he himself could come from Medina Sayyam. So how can you do that? Amar Rabbi Yosef, the korban noshim. So Rabbi Yosef says the answer is that our Mishnah would be talking about where it's a woman who sent the korban. Women don't do smicha. You have machloikas in Masechta Kiddushin, where everybody agrees they're not required to do smicha. There's machloikas where I think Rabbi Yosef says noshim semchas rishus. They can do smicha if they want to, but they're not required to. But in any case, everybody agrees that women are not chayev to do smicha because the pasuk says dabra bnei Yisrael v'samach, and so we learn only bnei Yisrael, not bnos Yisrael. We'll learn about that more in Gittin. I mean in Kiddushin in a few months. Bez Hashem. Anyway, so in that case, then you can do that. You can bring the korban. You don't have to worry about smicha because there's no smicha anyway. Rapapa ama b'chatas oif. Rapapa says another example could be, we're not talking about a chatas of an animal. We could be talking about they sent a chatas oif. A chatas oif doesn't, a bird chatas doesn't require smicha. So that could work even for a man's korban. Okay. So now we had three cases in the Mishnah where we're saying that we can follow the cheskas chayim. So the Gemara says Utsricha. Now we needed to be told all three of them. Why couldn't the Mishnah just have told us one of them and we would have inferred the other two from it? So like this, the Iashmin and Get, if we told us only by the case of a Get, you would say Mishum Dela Efshe, because we said otherwise it's impossible. If we always had to be concerned when a get was sent from Medinas Hayam that the guy might have died, then you would never be able to send a get from Medinas Hayam, and you would have many women who would be left at Gunas because their husband is in one place and they're in another, and it would be impossible to send them a get. So you could argue in that case, then the Chachamim are makel and allow us to use the Chazaka. Abel Truma, the Efsher, but with Truma it is possible to, she can always eat Cholim, like we talk about on Omar Aleph. So, you would think maybe not. Maybe we would just say once her husband has gone off to Medinas Hayam, she should be machmer on herself and only eat cholin. The Iyashmin and Truma, then if he only told us Truma, you would say, Dizimnin de Loyafsher. Even with Truma, sometimes it's not possible. She may be poor and she can't afford to buy cholin. So, like this, she'll be able to go to the granary where they're giving out Truma and she'll be able to receive some from there. So therefore, maybe we should give her a break and allow her to do that on the assumption her husband is still alive. Abo chata sa'oif, but when it comes to a chata sa'oif or regular chatas, the misfeka loyal chulin lazara, where maybe we shouldn't bring chulin lazara, we shouldn't bring chulin into the azara because of a suffix. Now Tosfos points out it's true that a chata sa'oif can come in a suffix. But that's what we're talking about over here. Tosfos says, when the person himself has a suffix, whether he needs to bring a chatas oif, then fine, he can bring it, unlike a chatas behema. A person can't bring a chatas behema in a situation where he has a suffix. At most, what he would do then is he'd bring an oshem toloi. But when it comes to a chatas oif, it's not so. A person can bring a chatas oif ala suffix. There are many examples of it throughout Shas. But that's only when that's the person himself has a suffix. For example, a woman has a suffix. She just miscarried. Was it far enough along in the pregnancy to be considered a baby, or was it not? Then she brings a chata sa'if ala suffolk. And you have other examples like that. Here, we're not talking about a suffolk whether the person has to bring a chata sa'if. It's a suffolk whether the person who sent it is still alive, not necessarily should the shliach who brought it be bringing it into the azara misuffolk. But with that said, there are other gisuris that take out the word oif, and then it would, in fact, Tosfos themselves just seems to have that gisa because they say avol chatos. So certainly an animal chatos, you can't do that. You can't bring that ala suffix. Tzricha, therefore, the Mishnah tells us it's not a matter of a suffix. It's a vadai because of a chazaka that he's still alive, and therefore you can go ahead and be mak with it. Okay. The Mishnah continues further on this topic about Chezkas Chaim. Shloisha Dvarim Omer Rabbi Lozim and Pauta Lifnei Chachamim. There are three cases that Rabbi Lozim and Pauta reported in front of the Chachamim. Bekim was Dvarim, and the Chachamim agreed that what he's saying is correct, and this is the halacha. So Rabbi Lozim and Pauta had learned these cases from his Rebbe, and the Chachamim agreed that this is correct, and this is how the halacha should be, even though they hadn't necessarily heard of it before. Number one, when you have a city that was surrounded by besiegers, and the case where you have a ship that's being tossed around in the sea, so it hasn't yet sunk, but there's a storm and it's having a hard time of it. Or the third case where a person is going out to be sentenced. For dinin nefashas, so he hasn't yet been sentenced, but he's being judged for it. In all those cases, shein b'cheskas kayamin, we can still assume that anybody who's in that situation still has a chazaka of being alive. So, in other words, in the case of the besieged city, for example, so the husband sent a get with a shliach, and then after the shliach, and then the city has been besieged. So now, again, the shliach can still assume that the husband is alive and deliver the get. He doesn't have to be concerned that the husband died or was killed during the siege. Avol, but continues Rabbi Lozim and Pauta, Irshakovsha Kalkum, once the city has been conquered by the besiegers, or Sfinisha Ovda Bayam, or once the ship sank in the sea, by Yotzeh Lehorig, or the person is actually being taken out to be executed. He was not only convicted and sentenced, but now he's on his way to be executed. So now, but you still have the question, is he alive or not? Nois Nalem, Chumre Chaim, Chumre Mesim. You have to be machmir to be on the safe side, whether they're alive or dead. Which means bas yisrael kohen, bas kohen liyisrael lo techo b'truma. Whether it's a bas yisrael married to a kohen or whether it's a bas kohen married to Israel, either way, they won't be able to eat truma at that point because the husband might be in the case of a Bas Yisrael married to a Kohen, if her husband is dead, she can't eat Truma anymore. So we have to be machmer and think that he might be dead. On the other hand, a Bas Kohen Le Yisrael, you have to be concerned that her husband, the Yisrael, is still alive, and therefore, again, she can't eat Truma. In those cases, because we have a much the here already, we have a here you don't have Cheskas Chaim anymore, because under those circumstances, a city that was conquered or a ship that sank or whatever, you have much less reason to have a Cheskas Chaim for the husband. So the Gemara starts off Omer Rav Yosef Lo Shonu Ela Beis Din Shel Yisrael. This that we're saying that when let's focus on that third case, where the person is being taken out to be judged versus executed. This that we said, that when he's going out to be executed, then we have to be machmer, as if that he might be alive or might be dead. That would be Elo based in Shoy Yisrael. Only when it's a Jewish based in. You can always have, the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, that even when the guy is on his way to be executed, they send along with him, they send along a rider on a horse and people with flags and so forth. And if on the way they find evidence to exonerate him, or even if he himself says, I have evidence to exonerate myself, then they're going to bring him back to Beis Din and hear the new evidence. So not necessarily just because a person is on his way to get skiller or whichever other method of execution, not necessarily is he actually going to be killed, says Rabbi Yosef. Avil but based in Shalovik Khavim, but when you come to a Goyish court, given the Gomerle Dinalaktola, once they decided the verdict that he's going to be killed, Mikto Katmile, they're definitely gonna execute him. And therefore at that point you don't even really have a suffix whether he might be alive or not. For sure, once you've allowed enough time after the verdict that he could have been executed, then he's gonna be, we can assume that he's dead, and we don't have to be concerned that maybe they changed their mind and he's still alive. So in that case, in other words, if he was a Yisrael and his wife was a Bas Kohen, then now she'd be able to go back to eating Truma once there's a strong reason to suppose that her husband's been killed. Omalei Abaya, but Abaya says, how could you say that? Based in Shalom Yisrael, Namin, Mekabel Shochta. What do you mean? The Goyish courts may accept bribes. A Jewish Beis Din is not going to accept bribes, but we're saying that on the other hand, they're going to try to meet, even at the last moment, to try to exonerate him. A Goyish court is not going to do that, but instead they might accept a bribe at the last moment and free him. Omalei, so Rabbi Yosef answers, Ki Shakli, it's true that the Goyish courts might take bribes, but that would only be Mekame de Lechtum Pursi Shanmag. That would only be before the Pursi Shanmag signs. Rashi explains that Pursi Shanmag is the Persian expression, I mean, for the verdict. So once the verdict has been signed, before that, they might take bribes. Tosfos brings from Rabbi Hanano that Pursi Shanmag is also a Persian expression, meaning the chief justice. So whatever, before the verdict has been signed, or before the chief justice signed off on it, then they would take shofar. Lebosa de michtam pursi shanmag, but after that verdict or the chief justice has signed, loy shakli, they're not going to take shofar anymore. So therefore, then we can assume that the person was killed, even where that results in a pula. So the Gemara says, Mesvi. So far, fine. We have Rabbi Yosef saying that there's a difference, a Goyish court versus a Jewish court. But on the other hand, Mesvi, I have a contradiction from a Mishnah in Makkos. So now, first the Mishnah says, the Mishnah over there begins by saying that if a person's Gmar Din was, whether if the verdict was decided in Beis Din, and then he runs away. So when he comes back before that Beis Din, then they continue where they left off. They don't say, well, let's go and reopen the case and see if we can find any evidence on his behalf. We take him out to be executed. If new evidence turns up, then fine. But we don't restart the whole case, says the Mishnah. But then the Mishnah continues, Kol Mokum, any place where there's a Beis Din, Sheyamdu Shnayim, where two Edim stand in front of the Beis Din, the Yomru, and they say that we're giving Edos that the Beis Din is Shoploini. Or plenty aid of that they give the meidin onu asish plenty. We're giving aidos about plenty. Shenigma dinim beis dinu shall plenty or plenty that his verdict was given in the beis din of so and so plenty or plenty aid of, and that plenty and plenty were the original aidim. So in other words, you had so Reuven, let's say, has been convicted of chilul Shabbos, let's say in one beis din. He ran away. Now the aidim originally who saw him was Shimon and Levi. Now, let's say there were other Edom, let's say Yehuda and Yisachar, who saw that whole case take place in the first Beis Din. Now they come to a different Beis Din where Reuven is living now, and they say, we can give Eidos that we were there in the Beis Din when they convicted Reuven on the basis of Levi and on the basis of Shimon and Levi's testimony. So Beis Din checks them out, and Harei Zeh Yehorin, and the person is executed on that basis. So now the point is, we see that we don't have to be concerned. The second Beis Din doesn't have to be concerned. So it's one thing when it's in the same Beis Din as the first part of the Mishnah says, fine, the first Beis Din knows whether they ended up finding any evidence to exonerate him. But the second Beis Din doesn't have any way of knowing that. All they know is the verdict was given. So how can we say that Hareza Yehorig, maybe what if the first Beis Din found evidence that favors him? So don't you see from that that even in a Jewish Beis Din, the chance that they found a reason to exonerate him is highly unlikely. So how can Rabbi Yosef say that our Mishnah is talking about Beis Din Shal Yisrael and saying when he's being taken out to be executed, then he has the chumrah of being alive or dead? So you see from that Mishnah that not necessarily. The answer is, the Gemara says, Duma Bereach Shaini. Maybe you could answer it different when he ran away. Once he ran away, then yeah, they're not going to bother finding any more evidence for him. But if he didn't run away, then they still might find something at the last moment. But the Gemara continues, Toshma, Shama Mibesh in Shal Yisrael. Here, let's try to bring another proof. A Braisa says, if one aide says Eidos, that he heard from a Jewish Beis Din, Shehoyu Oimrim Ish Ploini Mes Ish Ploini Nerag. They said that Ploini died or Ploini was killed. Mace, Rashi explains, would be you have those rare cases where Beis Din doesn't actually execute the person, but they leave him to die on his own. You have the example for the talks about in Sanhedrin, where, for example, he did the same Aveira multiple times and they already gave him Malchus several times. So now we know Koinsinoisa the Kippa, they put him into a narrow room and they give him a starvation diet, and then eventually they give him a large amount of barley and his stomach bursts open. And you have a couple of other cases where they do that, a person killed without aiding, etc. The point is, so you have those cases where Beis Din doesn't actually execute the person but leaves him to die a sort of natural death. So if one aide comes and says, I heard from a Beis Din Shal Yisrael that Ploini died in that situation, or Ish Ploini Nerag, or that person was executed, Yasiu Asishtai, on the basis of that one aide, then you can allow the guy's wife to remarry, because as we learned at the end of Yevamos, in general we believe one aide for that. However, on the other hand, if the aide comes and says that he heard from Goyish executioners, Ish Ploini Mes Ish Ploini Nerag, that Ploini died or Ploini was killed, then they can't allow his wife to be married. So the question is, my mess or my nerag? So we have to figure out what do we mean by mess and nerag? Ilema mess mamish, nerag mamish. Does it mean exactly what we just said? That mess would mean that he was executed by one of the usual methods, and mess would be that he was executed by being put into the kippah, or in the case of the goyish courts, it could be, Rashi says, the equivalent would be, for example, the Gemara tells us in Avodah Zarah that sometimes they'd have a punishment where they'd put a person into a building full of dirt and they'd bury him alive in the building, basically. So if you're going to say that mess means that, where they killed him in some indirect way like that, and nerag means nerag mamash, that he was actually executed, well then, well then, fine, but you could say in the case of the Jewish Beis Din, fine, you can understand that, but the parallel case by the goyim, amai al yasiu asishtai. Why shouldn't you be able to allow the wife to be married? We learned at the end of Yevamos that if a goy is mesiach lepitumai, he's not coming to give edus, he's just coming to tell over something without realizing that what he's saying amounts to edus, then we can accept it. So therefore, if this goyish executioner is sitting at a bar or something and talking about, you know, this interesting thing happened recently that I was in charge of the execution of so and so a yid, why shouldn't we be able to believe him? El alav. So it must be that when we say mess means yoytzalomus, so it must necessarily mean that mess means Nectar, that he's only going out to be killed, that he's only going out to die, he's going out to be placed into the kippah or into the, or to be buried alive by the goyim. And nerag would be yotze lahorig, and nerag would mean he's not actually executed yet, he's just on his way to be executed. V'katani based in Yisrael, yasi u'asishtad. And still the Mishnah is saying, the Braise is saying rather, that if it was a Jewish based in, then they are allowed to allow his wife to be married. So now Rabbi Yosef is saying that if he's going out to a Beis Din Shel Yisrael, then we have to be machmir because the Beis Din Shel Yisrael might find a reason to exonerate him at the last moment. But now if we understand this Braisa this way, and we're saying that mes doesn't mean, that nerag doesn't mean he's actually executed yet, just that he's on his way to, then doesn't that contradict Rabbi Yosef? When it comes to the Goyish court, Tosfos points out, first of all, again, the Braisa could be talking about before the verdict has been signed, where then again, we said they might take Shofar and free him. Or second of all, the whole concept of Masiach HaFitumai would only apply, Tosfos says, where they're saying he did die, because you can tell whether a person's dead or not. But when they're saying he's going to, then not necessarily we wouldn't even believe Masiach HaFitumai for that. So the question is really from the Jewish based in that the Braisa is saying, Yasiu Asishtoi, where Rabbi Yosef, instead of saying that our Mishnah is talking about that case and saying, No Sinel of Chumre Chaim, Chumre Mesim, and you have to be Machne. The answer is no. La'olam mes mamash. No, you don't have to understand the Braisa that way and say that mes and nerag mean he's on his way to die, he's on his way to be executed. No, you could say it means that he's actually literally dead in the kippah or in the or in the house full of dirt. Or nerag means literally executed. Or de ka'amet to kavaseh gaba ov de kachavim amai loy. So you're asking, so what's the problem? If a goy says that, wouldn't it be Masiach HaFitumai and such a thing is allowed? However, that would only apply to something that they don't have a connection. So, in other words, when you have a goy stam sitting over there and saying, an interesting thing happened recently, this guy died, then fine, that's called Masiach HaFitumai, and therefore you can believe him and say that that guy's wife can be married. But where they have our milsa to shaychiba, but when you're talking about something in which they are involved, in this case, it's the executioner himself saying, I executed this guy, or I threw him into the house full of dirt, or whatever, avdi lach zuki shikrayu, on the contrary, they might speak in a way and say that he's dead in order to strengthen their lies. In other words, they might want to say that he was killed, even though they only saw him going out to be killed, because they want people to be afraid of them or whatever it is. So that's not a case where we could accept Masiach HaFitumai. So in fact, the Braisa would be talking about where the goy is saying the guy is actually dead, and nevertheless we don't believe him. So the parallel case with Jews is we would say he is actually dead, and then Masiyah Nasishtoi. Rabbi Yosef is saying, but the Mishnah is not talking about where he's actually dead, we're talking about where he's on his way to be killed. Then we can also say with a Jewish based in, it's highly unlikely that they're going to find anything to exonerate him, and therefore that's much more, or the other way around, actually. Sorry, Rabbi Yosef says that with a Jewish based in, there is always the chance, however remote it is, that they might find something to exonerate him, and therefore just because he's being taken out to be executed doesn't mean that we can necessarily take it as a given that he's died. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to go on with another version of what Rabbi Yosef says, and then we're going to analyze that as well. So the Gemara says, Ikadamri. Others say that the discussion went the other way around. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Loi Shonu Elo Bebeis Din Shel Ov Kechavim. The second version is just the opposite. Rabbi Yosef is saying, our Mishnah is talking about a Goyish court. We're there, we're Yotze Lahoreg, then we need to be Machmer, maybe he's alive, maybe he's dead. At Avol, based in Shoy Yisrael, but when it comes to a Jewish based in, Kibbin de Nofikle Dina Laktola, once they already decided they're going to execute him, Katbele, they're going to execute him, and it's very unlikely that they're going to find something to exonerate him. It's true, Tosfos says you have that whole thing with the horse and the flags and so forth, but it's not very common that kind of thing should happen, and therefore we have every reason to assume, according to the second version, that with a based in Shoy Yisrael, he's actually going to get executed. But Omale Abaya asks him, based in Shoy Yisrael, Nami Efshe Dechozu Lo Yischosa, that the fact is they might find him a schus. And the answer is kiz tchazu leis chusa. The answer is even if the Beis Din is going to find a schus, is going to find a reason to exonerate, mikami de ligmar dina. That would only be before the gmar din. Bosa gmar dina tulei chazu leis chusa. After the gmar din, it's highly unlikely that they're going to find him a schus. They still are going to try to look for one. And again, that's why they're going to have the horseman and flagman and so on and so forth in case any schus turns up at the last moment. But nevertheless, once the Gemar Din has taken place, and the Chachamim, after all, deliberate very carefully before they go and decide that somebody is Chayiv Misa, then therefore it's very unlikely that after that they're going to find him a Schus that they didn't know of before. As opposed to, again, with the judges, with the Goyish judges, we could say they could always accept Shoshan. So the Gemara says, so now again, this version being the opposite of the previous one. Now, in the previous version, Rabbi Yosef was saying that a goyish court, we always assume that the guy has been killed, as opposed to a Jewish court, we say not necessarily, they might exonerate him. So now we're saying the other way around. So therefore, everything that we used before as a question against Rabbi Yosef is now going to be used as a proof to him. So Lema Messiah, can we say that we can support him from that Mishnah in Makkos that we quoted before? Kol makom sheyamdu shnayim, whenever two Edom stand in front of Beis Din, Edom anu asprish plonish enigma dini the Beis Din ishal plony, that we testify about plony, about Ruvain, that he was convicted in the Beis Din of plony, or plony of plony Edov, and that Shimon and Levi are the original Edom, harezi yahorin, then we execute him. So we see that, the second Beis Din doesn't have to worry that the first Beis Din might have later on found grounds to exonerate him. So that would prove Rabbi Yosef's point. And the Gemara says, like it said before, Duma Bereach Shiny, not necessarily when the guy runs away, they're not going to look for his horse for him anymore. So that's not a proof in that Mishnah, which is talking about him running away. That might be different. Okay. Toshma, Shomer Beis Din Shal Yisrael. Let's bring another proof. Again, we had a braisa that said that if a person hears from a Jewish court, Shal Yomer Ish Pliny Mes Ish Pliny Nerag, that Pliny died in the kippah or was executed by one of the four methods. Yasiu Es Ishto, then they can allow his wife to remarry. But Mikuman Trisim Shal Ovid Kachabim Ish Pliny Mes Ish Pliny Nerag. But if they hear it from the Goyish executioners that he died or was killed, Al Yasiu Es Ishto, then they can't allow his wife to marry. So again, like we said before, my mess or my nerag. What do we mean by died or was killed? So like the discussion before, ilema mess mamish v'nerag mamish. Do you mean that the goy is actually saying that he died or that he actually was killed? Then you would have to ask, why wouldn't you be able to allow his wife to remarry on the basis of that statement from the goy? We know that a masiach l'pitumai is believed in the case of a goy. So evidently, we would have to understand, like we tried before, that mes means he's on his way to be executed. Nerag would be that he's on his way to be killed by being thrown into the house full of dirt or whatever. But nerag means yotzelahorig. He's on his way to be killed. And we're saying that if it was a Jewish based in that was doing this, then they can, on the basis of that ages that he was on his way to do that, they can allow his wife to remarry. So that would bear out Rabbi Yosef. So in the first version, we use that as a question on Rabbi Yosef, that we said Rabbi Yosef had said in the first version that a Beis Din Shal Yisrael, we have to be machmir and say he might still be alive, but not necessarily. And we said on the basis of this braisa, it sounds like we can assume definitely he's dead in Masih and Asishtoi. Here, that Rabbi Yosef is saying the other way around, that he's saying with a Beis Din Shal Yisrael, the overwhelming likelihood is that he was killed. Then the braisa seems to support what he's saying. But again, again, the Gemara says not necessarily. You could say the braisa means he's actually, that the goy said he's actually dead or he's actually been killed. And you're wondering in that case, and then in that case, why wouldn't you believe the goy? Didn't we say that a Messiah is always believed? And the answer is, like we said before, that would only be something where they don't have their own involvement with. But when they themselves were involved, like here, it's the executioner himself telling about what happened. They may speak in a way in order to strengthen their lies. They may want to boast of how they of how their court is so powerful that it even executes people, and therefore not necessarily can we take them at their word. So you have the two different versions of what Rabbi Yosef says. Usually when we have two different versions of something in the Gemara, usually the halacha is like the second one, and that's how it is over here. So since we haven't schlugged up Rabbi Yosef, the halacha is like him. So therefore, so we would say that if the guy is being taken out to be executed by a Jewish Beis Din, then already we don't have to worry about Chumrei Chayim, but Chumrei Mesim, the overwhelming likelihood is that he was executed. On the other hand, so therefore, if an aide comes and says that, in the case where he sent a get, then you can't give the get because the likelihood is that he died. But it would mean, on the other hand, if he was a Yisrael and his wife is a Bas Koyan, then she can go back to eating truma on the assumption that the overwhelming likelihood that her husband was killed. On the other hand, when it comes to a Beis Din shel Ovid Kochavim, then not. Before, the Gemara had made the distinction whether the verdict was signed or not. Now we're not making that distinction. Even the verdict was signed, there's always the possibility that they might accept Shoichad, or they might, for whatever reason, the guy might run away or whatever and be able to survive it. And therefore, that his wife would not be allowed to be married. We still have to have Chumrei Chayim, Chumrei Mesim, and we have to have the Chumras as far as Truma, and so on and so forth. Maybe worth telling in this connection, if we can take another minute to tell an interesting story in this connection, and I think I may have mentioned it before, involving the grandfather of Rabbi Yaakov Emden. He was in Vilna when it was conquered by the Cossacks and the Tartars and whatever, and they were taking Jews and lining them up and executing them one and killing them one by one. So this Yid, Rabbi Yaakov Zak was his name, was one of those prisoners. But when it came to his turn, the killer over there, instead of, he has Rachmanus on him, he's a young man after all. So he tells him, instead of chopping your neck off, instead I'm going to put just the flat of the sword on your neck, and then you pretend like you were dead, and then like roll away, and whenever later on you manage to save yourself. Akitzer, so he did that. So people looking from the window, they always thought that there were Jews hiding out in a building nearby, and they saw through a crack, they saw what's going on. They thought he had actually died. Some of them even claimed they saw his head rolling away. So afterwards, his wife had managed to escape the country. They came and told her husband's dead. She didn't want to believe it, even though her grandfather was one of the great poskim of that time, Reb Heschel of Krakow, one of the Rebbe of the Shach, and of other Chachamim of that generation. Anyway, she refused. She said, I know my husband's still alive. And eventually, Takei turned up alive. So, and he told them the whole story. So after that, Reb Heschel said, in times like this, after Gzeiras Tachbetah, I'm not being Mater Agunis anymore. There's too much of a concern of these kinds of things where someone thinks they saw something and it really didn't happen. But in any case, I mean, there it wasn't even judicial execution. There it was Stam Goyim killing. But the point is, you have the same kind of thing that even at the last moment, a person could be saved by something unusual like that.
How often does it happen that a guy has Rachmanis in the Yid and keeps him alive?
I don't know how often it happens, but it's not just Rachmanis. Here in the Gemara was saying he could also take Shoichad. There could be various other things. So the halacha ultimately is that in the case of a Goyish court, we still have to have Chumrei Chayim, Chumrei Mesim.
Uh-huh. Shkoyach.